can't manipulate the Holy Spirit. I can't fabricate. I can't duplicate. But I can do one thing. We can position ourselves. And then we can just trust Him to do the rest. We didn't get through the sermon at all. And I think we're going to... God wants to do the same. And we're going to position ourselves. And I'm just going to lead you into a place of positioning ourselves before the Lord. So I'm going to keep them up there. And share a few words. And then we're just going to position ourselves before the Lord. God didn't allow me in the first service to go through even 80% of my sermon. So I did prepare. It's not a scam, okay? Just that it's relaxed. The Holy Spirit wanted to take over, and it was just so beautiful. So I feel like an ever-ready bunny jumping up and down because to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, I read the book of Nehemiah about a month or two ago. I was just working for the book, and at that time I didn't saw any particular message there, or it's just inspiring just reading that book. And I would like to encourage you, go and read the book again. It's just so encouraging to see how he dealt with the problems that came. By the way, I wanted to talk about the concept or the theme this morning. There's no winning without warring and working, or working or warring. That life, the task that God gives us, the things that's lying ahead of us, it takes work, it takes warring sometimes, effort put into it. But, you know, there's no triumph without trouble. There's no victory without vigilance this morning. And there's a cross to wear or to carry before every crown that we wear in life, especially in the kingdom of God. And Nehemiah, to me, is such an inspiring man. He was a man, and I wanted to actually show you in the Bible, as you go through the different chapters, that Nehemiah was an intensely spiritual man, perfectly natural, and thoroughly practical. I'm saying that again. Oh, I love it. I love it. The seats are filled here. The youth are back. Thank you so much, you guys, that you're here this morning at the back there. So it's good to have you back here after a long holiday. Nehemiah was a man that was intensely spiritual, perfectly natural, and thoroughly practical. I think sometimes, often in the body, we miss that one. We're so spiritual that we're not practical and natural. Well, either we're so natural that we forget the spiritual element. And it's so important just to find that balance there. The spiritual ones, I want to see a demon behind every stone, and then you get the ones that are so natural they ignore. They're ignorant of the spirit. And sometimes they're not practical. But Nehemiah was that kind of man. You will see that, and I'm probably not going to get there. When I love it when he says, when they started getting opposition, he said, "We prayed and we said to God." We prayed spiritually and we said to God. Or we waited. So they were just so, it's so beautiful. But this morning I was about to talk on this, and I'm going to share a few words just quickly on the first chapter. And I couldn't get out of the first chapter. Even in preparation, again, reading through this, the Lord just stopped me then. So we're not going to go further than the first chapter. If you've got your Bible there, turn with me to the first chapter of Nehemiah. And he just struck me. He just challenged me. I'm at a place where I'm just reading this first chapter. And I don't think we can go past the first chapter if the Holy Spirit hasn't done his work in the first chapter. And that's where we're going to stop the bus after a short while. So I'm just going to share a few words here. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Okay, I hope I pronounced. Forgive me for the pronunciations. I struggle already. And it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, this citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with me from Judah. And I asked him concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Listen to this. He asked them of things in Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. as I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you will keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. I love this. This man doesn't distantiate in me. It's such a beautiful picture of intercession. It's not us and them. He's in a different country finding himself. He hears the bad news and then he stands in the gap and he says, God, it's us. It's my family. I'm just interceding right now. Lord, I hear us. And he continues to say, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and all the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. Now, Lord, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But, this is beautiful, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servants prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. We'll just read to there. If you want to go back to verse 3, we see that Nehemiah asked the people, ask things in Jerusalem. Tell me what's happening there. I want you to see something here. Nehemiah wasn't visited by an angel. It wasn't that he was in a church service, maybe. He just, in the normal wake of day, in the normal things were just happening. Oh, by the way, how's things happening there in Jerusalem? And then they told him about the broken walls, about the condition of Jerusalem. Do you know that it's still, when we go out there and we ask the world of things, we still find the broken walls of the cities of God. Just this week, we as a country, Namibia, on the papers, under the top 5 countries consuming the most alcohol on this continent. I think we're the 3rd or something. I mean, we ever read it. Do you know when you read something like that, you like, God, you suddenly shock. It's just a shocker. God, you can't distantiate yourself from things like that. You can't say, well, it's the people up there with all the cooker shops. And I mean, by the way, if you drive up there, it's unbelievable, the shebeens and all of that. You can't instantiate yourself when we're known as a country that's called a fatherless generation. You can't just say, well, it's that culture up there. That's not what Nehemiah did. I see a man that when he heard the bad news, almost want to say, the broken walls, the cities that's burned down, it just struck him at that moment. And I wept and I prayed and I was in front of God. And this morning, we're just going to position ourselves, and I think that's where the Lord wants to bring us, just to that place. I think, or I see, that so often we become blind to the broken walls around us. We accept that is the society. Well, that's how things happen nowadays. That's how it happens in school. That's how the youth act. We just have to get used to that. That's the norm. But the broken walls still need to do something inside of you. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a spiritual burden? Is there something that's burdening you so much that every time you get into prayer with the Lord, that you just bring that before the Lord? Say, God, I bring our country to you, our marriages. Maybe it's something else. I don't know what God is. There's something specific. And if you haven't got a burden spiritually this morning, I trust that God will make you pregnant this morning with his burden. I wanted to talk about how he confronted his enemies, his boldness, his relentlessness. the three things that were attacking him from inside and the three things from outside, how he dealt with that. But I sense that the Lord said, let's just position ourselves before him. The Holy Spirit just to make us pregnant. Some of us, we are in the place where you are actively involved. But many of us, we see the broken walls, you know, and you'll see in chapter 2, when you read that, you can read chapter 1, you can read the whole book, but you'll see in chapter 2, Nehemiah, not only was he touched when he heard the bad news, he acted on that. Many of us, we hear the things and then we're so a bit sad and we're touched by that. But a very small percentage do something about that. So, well, there's something I can do about it. It's not just by chance that God stirs something inside of me. I need to ask myself, Lord, what is the appropriate action I need to take with the help of the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying doing things in flesh. So what I want us to do is just to turn to the person next to you, if you feel that you want to walk across to somebody else. And then we're just going to pray for the things that God is laying upon your heart right now. Things that's burdening you at the moment spiritually. If it's your country, if you're visiting other place where you are from. Whatever God is laying upon your heart this morning. And if you and I want to encourage you. If you feel there's not a spiritual burden that you have, that we just pray for that as well. Just where you are. Just say, God, make me pregnant this morning. See, the thing with Nehemiah is, before he was bold, before he walked in all of that, it started with a desire. It started with an urgency to see that this needs to change. God, I see this wall. There's a wall that needs to be built around a wall for the city of God, around every individual human heart, around every city, town, Swakopmund, Namibia, or maybe from other place. I don't know. Maybe the walls are broken down. God needs to take us back to that place where we just feel again and say, God, I see. But I ask you this morning for your grace. I tell you what, we can't do anything in our own strength. And this is the whole story about Nehemiah. How he acted, how God just empowered him, when the opposition came, and most probably, you'll have to read this, and most probably the same will happen to you this morning. You experience that touch of the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to say, yes, I'm so excited, I want to do this. And guess what? The Sanballat and all those in opposition to the work of God will come. And will discourage you, will lie to you. Look at all the things they did there. Become crafty, use force. We'll try and intimidate you. We'll try and use fear. All kinds of things. Three things from inside. Three things from outside. We can't talk about that this morning. Maybe other day. To be continued. It will come against you. Against the work of God. Marriages. So let's just turn to one another. Let's position ourselves before the Lord. And say, Lord, what's burning you? You want to put that on my heart this morning. You want to put that on my shoulders, I want to say. I want to intercede for that. I want to stand in the gap this morning. Or maybe God wants to make you pregnant this morning with that seed that he wants to plant inside of you that you need to carry, that he's gifted you, he's enabled you. And some of you do not even know that. Young people, God is about to make you pregnant. You do not even know what God has placed inside of you. And over time, he will show that to you. What he's given you to do, what he wants you to do to see that the kingdom comes. Let's just, while the music is playing, let's just turn to one another. Let's just position ourselves. We ask the Holy Spirit just those things. And we pray together.